Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. Now that we are told the Republican frontrunner has a solid, if not insurmountable, lead, we'll begin with a look into who Mitt Romney is. Scott Hellman, a staff writer at the Boston Globe and co-author of a new book, The Real Romney, joins us. We'll explore the candidate's formative years and learn what makes the man, not the robot, tick. Then we'll get an insightful briefing on what's holding Syria together and what's tearing it apart, as well as examining the role of the outside powers and the regional players now embroiled in a proxy war that could go on for a considerable time. Aram Nagesian, a visiting fellow and the Ali Burke Chair of Strategy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, joins us. We'll discuss the Assad family clan and its mafia-like domination of both Syria's politics and its economy as the civil war intensifies to the point Syria could become the Somalia of the Mediterranean, with arsenals of chemical and biological weapons proliferating. Then finally, we will assess how the West might deal with another presidency of Vladimir Putin, who just won the Russian election amid charges of fraud and growing protests at home. Daniel Treisman, a professor of political science at UCLA and author of The Return, Russia's Journey from Gorbachev to Medvedev, joins us. We will discuss why President Obama has yet to congratulate Putin on his victory while mentioning at yesterday's White House press conference that he looked forward to meeting Putin at Camp David during the G8 summit. And joining us now is Scott Hellman, a staff writer at the Boston Globe, where he has worked as a reporter and an editor for more than a decade. He was previously the paper's political editor and a national political reporter, serving as a lead writer on the 2008 presidential campaign. His new book, co-authored with Michael Kranich, is The Real Romney. Welcome to Background Briefing, Scott Hellman.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, the title of your new book, The Real Romney, is that to suggest that the one that we're seeing out on the campaign trail is the unreal Romney?
No, it really was to suggest that there was somebody who was at once a household name and yet completely unknown. I mean, we thought that Mitt Romney remained something of an enigmatic presence to most Americans, even though they know his name. There's not much more that they know. So we set out to draw on our 20-some years of reporting on him as a newspaper to write the only really full biography of him that exists.
And now he's back in your town, Boston, apparently having said that he was looking forward to being home and sleeping in his own bed. What do you think he's thinking of this morning?
I think this is going better than it looks for him. Look, it's not been a great primary campaign in the sense that he's clearly had trouble connecting with conservative voters. We saw that again yesterday, despite his big delegate win at Super Tuesday. So, at the same time, I think, as his campaign said today, that it might even be mathematically impossible for his rivals to actually get the number of delegates needed. So this is very much where Mitt Romney's comfortable, in a long slog for delegates.
Right, but he's only a third of the way there in terms of the delegates, and coming up is Kansas, Alabama, Mississippi, and Missouri, all fairly conservative states. And if Santorum is able to get Gingrich out of the way, not that that's likely, but at least he's going to try. I mean, frankly, it would be a different race had it not been, don't you think, Scott Hellman, for the fact that so much of the anti-Romney vote is being split between Santorum and Gingrich?
Sure. I mean, Mitt Romney's been very lucky that Newt Gingrich is so stubborn. It's clearly helped him to split the anti-Romney vote. And yes, there are upcoming contests that I think he will probably lose. But again, because of the way that the delegates are apportioned this year, which is proportional in many places, Mitt Romney doesn't have to win every state. He can win congressional districts here and there, and he can pick up delegates here and there, even in unfriendly places. So I think at the end of the day, I would be very surprised if anyone else but Romney makes it to that delegate threshold.
So Scott Hellman, again, staff writer at the Boston Globe, co-authored with Michael Kranich the new book, The Real Romney. Give us a sense then of, I've heard that one of the reasons, and you can certainly set us straight on this, that one of the reasons that Romney comes across as being kind of stiff and robotic, as many have said, is that the real Romney is only on display amongst his friends and a close circle of friends, and particularly within the kind of world of the Mormon Church that he's been obviously deeply involved in, there being a bishop. It's not the same as a Catholic bishop, obviously, but he's been prominent in the church. Is there anything to that?
Oh, very much so. I mean, there are very different portraits of Mitt Romney that you get depending on who you ask. I mean, he keeps a very tight circle of friends and family. You're right that many of those friends and certainly his family are in the Mormon Church. And those are the people who see somebody they describe as warm and funny and human and not robotic and not stiff and not wood and all the things that we see him described as. And yet, even if you get a little bit outside of that circle, even if you're somebody who worked for him or worked with him, you don't see that side of him. He is all business. He's you know, if you're a staff member for him, he, many people told me, he's not terribly interested in, you know, how your kid's doing at college or what your dog's name is or how your kids are, what your wife is up to. It can be very shallow interactions with him. And these aren't people who just run into him. I mean, these are some people who worked for him for years. And so I think if you're not in that inner circle, you have a very different picture of him. And that's, I think, you know, of course, part of what we see on the campaign trail. Most people, are, of course, are not in his inner circle. And they're seeing the controlled, robotic, difficult to connect with man up there. And I think that's going to be certainly a challenge for him. It already has been a challenge for him, but it certainly will be amplified in a general election campaign.
Well, it's odd in a way, Scott Hellman. It very much sounds like Al Gore. He's got an Al Gore problem, because Al Gore, from all the people who I've talked to who have met him and know him socially, says he's just a funny, self-deprecating guy. But as a candidate, he was so wooden and robotic that, you know, he's almost Romney's twin.
I think there's probably some truth to that. I never covered Al Gore closely, but I've certainly heard that as well. And look, I mean, you can say some similar things about President Obama. I mean, they're much different people, and they come from very different backgrounds, and I think they're much different thinkers, but there is a detachment that they both share. And, you know, it's. I mean, we describe in the book that, I mean, Mitt Romney is absolutely the antithesis of that gregarious politician who you might see in a bar after a big, you know, political convention, or you see him getting a sandwich and he'll chat with you, and he'll trade gossip, and he'll want to know how you're doing, and he'll try to, you know, ingratiate himself into you and your circle of friends, your conversation. I mean, he is not like that. He goes the other way. He does not want small talk. He doesn't need it. He doesn't crave it. And he's, you know, when it comes down to it, he's introverted.
So he's no Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton, apparently, everybody that's interacted with him is that, you know, he makes you feel like you're the most important person in the world and knows the name of your dog and your ex-wife, you know.
Right. I think Bill Clinton would be a good foil for Mitt Romney in many ways. Yeah.
Right. So tell me about then in your book, again, Scott Hellman, staff writer at the Boston Globe, he co-authored along with Michael Krenish the new book, The Real Romney. Let's begin with his father, with whom Mitt had a close but complicated relationship. And now there again, talk about analogies. That sounds a little bit like George W. Bush and G.H.W. Bush, right?
That's right. I mean, Mitt Romney grew up in a political household. His father, George, was a successful auto executive and three-term governor of Michigan, and a popular one at that. And Mitt has been very open about this. I mean, he has said that he worshipped his father, and he idolized him, and he hung on every word and just was endlessly fascinated by him. And friends will tell you that Mitt Romney has patterned his own life after his father's in many ways. They were both successful in business, went into politics at about the same time. Of course, George Romney ran for president in 1968. A lot of people feel like Mitt is trying to avenge that loss in some way by running himself. But the reality is it is a lot more complicated than that, and they're very different people. And they had very different political profiles. George Romney was a very outspoken moderate. He was brash and he was blunt-spoken. He stormed out of the 64 convention because of the way the Republicans weren't dealing with civil rights. I mean, very, very different stylistically and politically than Mitt Romney, who, of course, is now trying to court the conservative vote. He's much more disciplined, much more careful, much more scripted. So, you know, on one hand, yes, he's very much following in his father's footsteps. On the other, they're very different people, and Mitt is cutting his own path.
So I'm just trying to get a sense then of whether, because Romney, as you mentioned, the father stormed out of the convention because the Republicans weren't dealing with civil rights. He ran to the left of of Nixon. And Mitt Romney has mentioned on a number of occasions his father marching with Martin Luther King. So what's the story here? Does, when you say the son admires the father, does he admire the father's more, you know, liberal or diverse political outlook? Or is it just that the Republican Party back in the days of Richard Nixon, I mean, in many ways, Richard Nixon probably wouldn't find a home in today's Republican Party, right?
Sure. I mean, certainly it is tricky to draw comparisons because the eras are different and the politics are different. And who knows how George Romney would have fared in the era of the Tea Party. So by all means, yes, it's not a perfect comparison. But I think at the same time, they are very different people. And I think certainly Mitt Romney looked up to his father and talks about him occasionally on the campaign trail. And I think, again, endeavored to be him in many ways. And frankly, early on in his political career, he was much more like George Romney, at least ideologically. I mean, Mitt Romney's first campaign for office was in 1994 against Ted Kennedy for the U.S. Senate. And I mean, that Mitt Romney who ran that campaign is virtually unrecognizable today when we watch him run for president. So, you know, clearly Mitt Romney has grown more conservative over his career. It's hard to know what his own father would have made of that.
Well, Scott Hellman, again, co-author with Michael Krenishov, the new book, The Real Romney. What do you make of it? I mean, are his opponents, particularly Santorum and Gingrich, who don't miss an opportunity to refer to him as a Massachusetts moderate, do you think that's who he really is? Or has he evolved and moved to the right? Or is he just accommodating the fact that the Republican Party has moved to the right?
I think he's at heart a pragmatist. I mean, he has always looked at the situation in front of him, gathered as much information as he could, and gathered smart people around him, and then tried to make a decision to suit the moment. And that has served him very well in his life. Of course, it served him tremendously well in business, where he made piles and piles of money for him and his partners. And I think he's applied that to politics in a lot of ways. I mean, he ran again in 94 as somebody very different than he is today. Even in 2002, when he ran for governor of Massachusetts, he was that Massachusetts moderate. He was an appealing Republican brand in many ways. He was exactly the kind of Republican Massachusetts voters like to elect as governor. And then over the course of that term, he shifted fairly significantly to the right and on a number of issues. And look, I think his campaign team saw the opening on the right, and they set out to fill it. And it was clearly not successful, or, you know, he would have been the nominee 4 years ago. And I think he's still running as that person, I think, but they made a calculation this campaign to really run on the economy, because that's the one thing that, you know, really is in Mitt Romney's wheelhouse. So, you know, people still debate, well, you know, which one was it? Was he faking it then, or was he faking it now, or sort of what his principles are? I mean, certainly he has changed on a number of things, and the fact that people don't, you know, that conservatives don't fully trust him and don't fully believe he's one of their own is why we're still talking about a race, you know, here in mid-March.
Well, but it's pretty obvious, isn't it, that and having written this biography about him, the Real Romney, isn't it clear that he's been running for president for at least this has been in his mind? I mean, he sort of built the perfect resume in a way, the way that George Bush's father had the perfect resume. And you can't help feeling that he took on the job for the Olympics as a way to get a national profile. And he's been running, obviously, and it seems in many ways in the Republican Party, you get your turn. You know, Reagan had to run twice before he got it, and Bush had to run, Senior had to run twice before you got it. It seems like he's had a fairly calculated long career. And if that is true, why do you think he wants to be president?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, this is something he's, I think, thought about doing for many, many years. And you will hear, if you talk to friends, you'll hear stories about how he was careful very, very early on in his business dealings because he knew he would be running for public office. And he told a friend once when he was really barely 30 years old that he didn't want to enter into some shady real estate deal because if I ever run for office, he said, this is not something I'd want people to know about. So you're absolutely right. Look, I think he's somebody, in his wife's words, he loves a catastrophe. He likes a crisis. He thinks that he is the one best suited to come in and fix things. That was true at the Olympics, certainly. It was true at various times in his career at Bain. And it was true to some extent when he took over as governor of Massachusetts when we were facing a big budget problem. And in his mind, the country is a mess. And he is Mr. Fix-It, and he's the only one with the goods to turn it around. Now, I think his central challenge this fall, assuming he is the nominee, is if the economic numbers continue to get a little bit better and people have a little bit of hope that things are okay or getting better or that finally the economy is on the march a little bit, I think Mitt Romney is going to have a real problem because the rationale for his candidacy is that this country is going in the wrong direction and only he can turn it around.
But Scott Hellman, you say that he really believes that the things are in dire shape because on the campaign trail, when he incessantly talks about Barack Obama all the time, it sort of reaches a point of almost kind of ridiculousness. It's like, you know, I like apple pie and ice cream, but Barack Obama, not only does he not like apple pie, he doesn't like ice cream, you know?
Right. Just, or he's made everyone's apple pie and ice cream taste worse.
Yes. it's almost juvenile at times listening to it, you know?
Certainly, though. I mean, in fairness, you hear a lot on both sides of that. I mean, I can remember, perhaps not exactly the same thing, but I can remember some comments that were made your eyes roll during the 2008 Democratic primary about George W. Bush. So, you know, in some ways, that goes hand in hand with a party primary driven by the ideologically pure in many ways. But you're right. I think that language is increasingly out of step, and he's going to have to find a way to calibrate it if the country does manage to march back a little bit, as it seems to be doing here in these last few months.
So tell us about some of the stuff in the book that gives you insight into his formative years. What was it that happened when he was a Mormon missionary in France, this fatal car crash, and it apparently had a profound effect on him throughout his life?
Yeah, I think that's really his 2.5 years as a Mormon missionary, I think, are really critical in terms of his formative years. I mean, he had grown up in a comfortable family in suburban Detroit. He'd gone off to Stanford University for a year and started to get a little bit of a taste of the outside world there at Stanford. But and remember, this was the mid to late 60s, so the anti-war movement was just gaining steam. Counterculture was coming into favor. Mitt Romney was getting a taste of that. And right at the moment, though, that he started to really be interested in and explore it and try to find his place in the world, he gets sent off to France for 2.5 years as a Mormon missionary. And he emerges after those 2.5 years much closer to his faith, in his words, much much more determined to live a life of purpose. And I think it was a hard 2.5 years for him in many ways. You mentioned the car crash. He was driving the car one day full of Mormons, and a Catholic priest in a Mercedes came swinging around a bend, smashed into their car, more or less head-on. The wife of the French mission president was killed. It was a very traumatic event, and young Mitt Romney and a colleague really helped run the French mission for a few months while the woman's husband was away. This was a big test of his leadership. And again, it only sort of cemented this idea of in his mind that he wanted to live a life of purpose and do something serious. And so from that time on, you see him, he returns to the States, he marries Anne, his wife, he transfers to Brigham Young University, a very conservative, largely Mormon campus, and then from there he's off and running to Harvard Business School, law school. You know, he basically becomes the Mitt Romney we see today in many ways. So I really see those years in France as the sort of the fulcrum on which his life really, really turns.
So just in closing, though, did he have a dalliance with the counterculture before? Because he seems like a guy that escaped the 60s, you know?
It's true. And no, what I mean to say is that he was not, I mean, he certainly did not have a dalliance with it. I think, in fact, there are pictures of him at Stanford actually protesting the protesters. So he was appalled by a lot of that and was not moved to join them. But by his own description, his connection to his faith before he went was quote, pretty thin tissue, even though he'd grown up in this Mormon household. So I think he'd begun to explore and get a little taste of the outside world, even if he didn't. Certainly he was not growing his hair long and, listening to Janis Joplin. I mean, this is not, no, this, that has never been Mitt Romney. Certainly is not Mitt Romney today. But he was, right as all of that was kind of gaining steam and really getting a lot of attention, and the foment really started, Mitt is pulled out in this remote French town trying to convince a Catholic country to join the Mormon Church. So it's true that he missed the 60s in a lot of ways, even though he did have some interaction with it before he left, and then also certainly while he was in France, because France had its own social unrest at the time.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Scott Hellman.
My pleasure. It's great to talk to you.
Again, I've been speaking with Scott Hellman, who's a staff writer at the Boston Globe, where he has worked as a reporter and an editor for more than a decade. He was previously the paper's political editor and a national political reporter, serving as the lead writer on the 2008 presidential campaign. His new book, co-authored with Michael Cranish, is The Real Mitt Romney. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with a specialist on Syria.
That's worked out pretty well so far. But when they see the kind of person that you really are, then you won't be laughing so hard.